Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today is September 11th, and we remember all those who died on this day a number of years ago. We do not forget them. And let us pray, brothers and sisters, that not only we in our own hearts, but as a nation, we may come back to becoming again one nation under God. May we allow Him to exercise His authority over us, because He will lead us into the fullness of goodness and beauty and truth. That's who God is. He won't lead us astray. So take a look at yourself. Do you seek every day to follow the Lord, to follow His word? Do you simply repent when you fail? And we'll fail a lot. But the more we persevere, the more the habits grow. We are drawn closer and closer to Him. Brothers and sisters, He is the fullness of goodness and beauty and truth. That's the only place where you will be satisfied, is resting against the heart of Jesus. You can do more for your country. You can do more for your friends. You can do more in your workplace. You can do more everywhere if you are drawing closer to the heart of beauty and goodness and truth. And if you're willing to say to Him, lead me, give me the grace to follow. Again, we're reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, which he wrote, remember, he founded the community in the year 51, and as he traveled, he was always writing them, giving them directions and help, trying to show them as they formed the first Christian community. He was trying to help them, and they ran into all kinds of difficulties. And that's a lot of what 1 Corinthians does. It teaches us a great deal. You can certainly draw the lessons for today in 2018 as much as you could in the year 51. The human being is the human being. That doesn't change this side of heaven. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. Brothers and sisters, how can any one of you with a case against another dare to bring it to the unjust for judgment instead of to the holy ones? In other words, why are you going to secular courts to solve issues? What about a court of Christians who would have the same values and the same standards? And so he says to them, how can any one of you with a case against another dare to bring it to the unjust for judgment instead of to the holy ones? Do you not know that the holy ones will judge the world? If the world is to be judged by you, are you unqualified for the lowest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? Then why not everyday matters? If therefore you have courts for everyday matters, do you seat as judges people that have no standing in the church? I say this to shame you. Can it be that there is not one among you wise enough to be able to settle a case between brothers? In other words, come on, you've got gifts. There are people among you who have gifts. I don't know what instruction they had to go through, but he's clearly saying they could be eligible. Can it be that there is not one among you wise enough to be able to settle a case between brothers? But rather, brother goes to court against brother, and that all before unbelievers. What are you doing as Christians using secular foundations for all kinds of decisions that you make? What he's urging them to? It's to begin to look at themselves and look at one another and say, what gifts do I have to contribute to the Christian community? We ought to be saying the same thing, even today. What gifts do I have that can be useful in the Christian community? Take them to the shepherd. Take them to your pastor. Take them to the diocese. You'd be tested out. Do you really have what you say you have? Of course. But make yourself available. I'd be glad to help with that. I'd be glad to pray for that situation. Offer yourself that way in the beginning and see if there's a way in which God wants to use you in the life of the parish, in the life of the diocese. There's all kinds of ways, brothers and sisters, if our heads are on straight, if Jesus Christ is in the center of our lives, we can be of tremendous service to other people. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need education and all of that, but I'm looking right now at the heart. Look at the heart. Look at your heart. Where has God gifted you? What are you doing with the gifts you've received? How are you using them to build the kingdom of God? That's why he's saying, why are you going to secular courts? As a Christian people, we ought to be able to provide for ourselves because we have different values. Apply that to yourself. Now, indeed, then, it is in any case a failure on your part that you have lawsuits against one another. Why not rather put up with injustice? Why not rather let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you inflict injustice and cheat, and this to brothers. In other words, why don't you just give it up? But what you're doing is you're inflicting injustice on others. Do you not know that the unjust will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor prostitutes, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. There it is, brothers and sisters, in black and white. And it's the truth. We don't have to live in that filth. We're better than that. I don't mean better in the sense that I'm better than you are. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you're a genuine disciple and the presence of Christ is in you and you're living out of that. To the many, many brothers and sisters we have who literally are pagans today, they don't practice any faith. We should be modeling things for them. We should be helping them, not just pulling them off to court because we don't have something we think we should have. And I'm not saying that there is a just place for court. So I'm not saying no, but examine, why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I showing that I am a true Christian? And that doesn't always mean saying, oh, no, it doesn't matter. No, we'll just drop it. Because 6 months later, you're full of resentment that you did that. It's a matter of walking with the Lord. Lord, teach us. Teach us. Teach us how to handle injustice. Teach us what to do. Read the scriptures. Read the Acts of the Apostles. Read the teachings of Jesus. It's all there. But it's not like looking on this page, this chapter, this verse, there's my answer. No, it's imbibing a whole way of thinking. And God wants to give that to you. And he does it through his Holy Spirit. This whole section in 1 Corinthians verses 1 to 11, that whole section, he names every possible major sin, or at least most of them. Brothers and sisters, don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in sexual sin. It will destroy you. And it's very, very much held up today. Everything you turn to, you read, you turn on the computer, wherever you are, on your phone, there are all kinds of advertisements and all kinds of things presenting themselves to us. And all they do is lead us into the pit of hell. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. Let's pray God give us insight and give us strength to say yes to God and no to the devil. The Lord takes delight in his people. He takes delight in us when we say, Lord, teach me, show me how. Help me to see my sin. Help me to seek forgiveness for my sin. You're not tainted by admitting your sin. You're set free. But the devil wants to tell you that it's going to leave. Oh, you don't want to do that. People are going to think terrible things about you. Maybe they are. But what does God think about you? What do the people dearest to you think about you? Don't hide your sin. Just face it and repent. And more you will experience honestly being set free. The gospel is Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. And this is very important. I've mentioned this before. There's another passage in Matthew that's similar to this, but this is Luke chapter 6. Jesus departed to the mountain to pray. and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And then you have the listing of who became apostles. But what I want you to see here, and the translation here isn't the best, Jesus departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, all right, when day came, this is not a quick thing. He's praying all night. And then he calls the disciples to himself. And one of the translations says, I think more accurately, he called them to be with him. That's very important. In Matthew's gospel, I think it's a little clearer. He called them, not just called them by name, but he called them to be with him. In other words, to enter into a deep personal relationship with him. He didn't just say, okay, you're going to be this, and you're going to be this, and you're going to be this. He drew them in. He revealed himself to them. They were drawn to him, and he called them to be his disciples. He called them. He called the 12, who he would name apostles. This is an intimate time. How much time do you give God? Do you just sit before God and wait on him and listen to him? Because he wants to reveal himself to all of us. Yes, things need to be tested out. Don't just say, oh yeah, God spoke to me. It has to be tested. But if you think God is saying something to you, go to a good counselor, go to a priest, go to good spiritual directors and ask them, could this be the Lord? And they'll help you to learn how to hear. So Simon named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called a zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Notice that Jesus invited him to be an apostle. And what did he do with that? He wanted money. He was beset by hunger and thirst for money. And so he sold his Savior. And Jesus knew that and invited him in the hopes that the grace would penetrate. But Judas was closed. Don't be like Judas. And he came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground, a great crowd of his disciples, a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him because power came forth from him and healed them all. Jesus wants to heal us of many things that we're carrying. We just need to humble ourselves and sit with him, be with him, spend time with him, that he might draw us to his own heart. God bless you. In these times in which we live, I want to make sure that you can access my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. I want to encourage you, please, to get that booklet. You can have a free copy of it by calling 1-800-282-4789 or by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and just click on Bookstore. Please take the time to read it. May God bless you.